You're listening to the Ebenezer Podcast. On this podcast, we are remembering how God has helped us. And so on this pod, you're going to hear from Giorgio and Eric and myself, Justin, as well as different people, a part of Redeemer Church, Winston-Salem, as we testify to the ways God has helped us, as we wrestle with the story of God and the story of us. Thanks for listening. All right, welcome back. I'm Justin. I'm here on the Ebenezer Pod. And today we have two esteemed former Redeemer staff, part of our Women's Council, and incredible women of Redeemer Church. So today we have Susan Nash and Mackenzie Edwards, and they're joining us. Hey, ladies.
Hi.
Hey there.
We're glad to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So remember, as we start this, just like orientation for us, is that these stories that we're sharing are invitations. They're invitations for everyone that's listening to just be invited into God's presence and to consider their story in light of someone else's story. And so why don't you ladies tell me just a little bit about yourselves?
Age before beauty here. So
it's beauty and age.
Wow, you are beauty and age combined, such a broad topic.
Yeah. So in a couple of weeks, I'll be 75. Let me start there. So yeah. I have a full Borg story. But I love people, and that is central to my story. And I love my family. I've never married, but I've got three nieces and a nephew, and I've got all these grandnieces and nephews, and I love to be with them. I was over Christmas. I retired from full-time staff 2 years ago. I thought that was going to be very difficult. Yes, Eric and Justin replaced me.
Pushed you out.
So just so you know, it took two of them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That is a fact.
But I love life. I love my life now. And I can't wait to talk about what you've invited us to talk about today.
Sweet. I'm glad you're here.
Okay. This is Mackenzie, and I feel like I am right in the thick of things.
Yeah.
I am married to Stephen, and I have two elementary age kiddos, and I stay home full time with them, but previously, my schooling was to go into vocational ministry, and so I've worked at a couple of different churches and a parachurch ministry, and love people, love discipleship, and I love the church. I just enjoy being a fellow traveler, really, with others. And I do miss that capacity, you know, operating in that capacity of being on staff. But I really am enjoying the calling to be at home right now.
Yeah, it's good. Both of you, I mean, just to say out front, we're grateful for you here at Redeemer Church, both the ways that you've served the church on staff in different capacities, but also just the way you serve now and love Redeemer and love the people of Redeemer. Mm-hmm. So we're glad that you're here. So yeah, we have been talking about Ebenezer, and so Ebenezer is a rock of remembrance. It is, thus far, the Lord has helped us. We've said that a lot through this series. So when you hear that phrase, thus far the Lord has helped us, like what immediately comes into your mind about your story? We're kind of like centralizing this like right now.
Mm-hmm.
So where is thus the Lord has helped us going on in your present moment of your stories? You can go first, Mackenzie. We'll kind of alternate.
Sure. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is I'm still working all of this out.
For sure.
Which will just be for a forever work in my life with Christ. But it really was 5 years ago is a real marked moment for me. Mm-hmm. It was in the height of COVID, fall of 2020. I was at home with my 4-year-old and 1-year-old. My husband all of a sudden was working from home. I rolled Kids. Off. Yeah, it was just, we were all so snug together.
Uh-huh. Beautiful chaos.
Yeah, yes. And I had just rolled off church staff. And so I was not prioritizing time by myself to recharge. It was difficult to even imagine how to do that. Mm-hmm. I was not prioritizing my time with the Lord. And I felt like I was living on a verge of panic attacks. Mm-hmm. I was full of fear and anxiety, and I knew I needed help, specifically because my anger and emotions just felt totally unregulated, and I was not well. Mm-hmm. And I knew I needed help, but I did not. It was like I couldn't even, I was just taking it a day at a time, and I didn't even know how to really get help or ask for help.
How did you know this? Like, what was the thing that brought this, like, out? Does that make sense?
I think I knew I was not well because I kind of felt like I was a sheep, like a little lamb in a ditch, and I just kept trying with my own strength to get out, mm-hmm. and I continued to feel disoriented, exhausted, angry, irritated at everyone. I knew that on my own strength, I was not going to be able to move forward into a better place and a place of healing.
Yeah.
And totally out of the blue, kind of at the height of all of this, a friend of mine called me and she said, I was having a conversation with someone else about spiritual direction and you came to mind immediately and I knew I had to call you and tell you about it. She said, so I'm calling you now. I know that there is a director that has space for someone new, and here is their information. And we pretty much hung up the phone, and I did not know what I think I pretended to know what spiritual direction was,
right,
because I was just like, oh yeah, totally.
Totally.
And so I set up an appointment. We met within a month later, and that was the beginning for me of God untangling so much within my soul and leading me to a place of healing. And I have, and so that particular director and I have been meeting together every month for 5 years.
Wow.
And the reason it is an Ebenezer moment for me is that it's a miraculous display of God coming for me.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed help and I didn't know how, and it doesn't always work out that way.
For sure.
But in this particular moment in my life, he came for me, and that was such a mercy.
Yeah. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. That untangling of what God does. So I've been like working through this idea through a social theorist, his name's Hermann Rosa, and it's called resonance. And so what he says is that these resonant moments, that if you're going to have resonance, and you can think about resonance like how sound works, like it all like comes together, it's a resonant sound, right? That resonance is a dialogue. Someone speaks and you respond, or someone responds to that dialogue. There's transformation. And the key component of a resonant event is its uncontrollability. So it can't be controlled. the outcomes, the situation, it happens upon us. And there's all kinds of different things that make us present to that reality, like the available, open to a resonant moment, but we can't control it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so like that's how you, what you described is like you had this, this tangling up mm-hmm. that felt like heavy and hard. And then there was a dialogue. And that dialogue resulted in transformation. And it came upon you outside of your control. And it was a very resonant event for you. I think that's another helpful way to think about Ebenezers, is that they are usually these resonant events that happen upon us. So thanks for sharing that. Susan, what about you?
Yes. So I'm trying to resonate now with what you've been saying. I wanted to start with the big view mm-hmm. that... about when I went through spiritual direction training a few years ago, we read a book called Critical Journey, and it speaks of six stages of faith. Mm. And I would say the first three are more performative until you hit a wall. And what
would be an example of like something that's performative?
So when you first become a Christian, it starts with, because it's about faith, mm-hmm. when you first become a Christian, you start learning things, but you feel like, I've got to have a quiet time,
right.
And it's got to be at 6 a.m., and it's got to be thus and so.
Right.
And so you're trying to do a checklist,
right.
And it's less about your relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. with God, of experiencing that.
Right.
And then
and sometimes we get stuck there, right?
We get stuck.
Right.
And then you're discipled, and then you got to disciple others.
Right. And it becomes like perfect almost, like you have to have these, some level, a writer I follow, his name's Oliver Bruckman, talks about it as toxic productivity.
Right.
Like we have this vision of what quiet time or time of the Lord is supposed to be like. And we add to that list. It grows because whether we're longing for more, our experience isn't the same anymore after we've been doing it a long time. And then we get stuck and we're like, well, I can't. It keeps us from even doing it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's leading to this wall that we hit. But the third level is about service. And so you start serving. But how many people... in our church, including ourselves, feel overwhelmed by how we're serving. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes, again, a measure of how well do we love God. Mm-hmm. If I loved him, I would do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And so it's leading. That is called the outward journey.
Okay.
It's about to turn into what... she was talking about and what I experienced myself, an inward journey and interior freedom, which is what your sermon was about this past Sunday. And that is a wall. You may have hit a lot of walls along the way, but all of a sudden you hit this one that makes you know, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And as a 3 on the Enneagram and achiever, I hit that wall big time.
Yeah.
To the point I felt like I failed. I failed as a Christian. I failed as a teacher. I failed as a leader. And I failed. But that failure was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Because I realized it wasn't about me. It was about Christ working through me. And so the last cycles or stages have to do with almost going back on the first three, but doing it in a different way, doing it with Christ at the center. Mm-hmm. And so you're becoming more and more yielding your life over in areas that were very difficult. Until you hit that wall. Mm-hmm. So I came here, I guess that wall, that big wall for me, started happening about 20 years ago.
Right.
So you can be fairly old when God decides.
And a long time Christian.
Yes. Yeah. when God decides to have that wrestling with Jacob moment,
yeah,
and put your hip out of joint,
yeah,
and put your life out of joint.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're having to be reborn in a way,
mm-hmm,
even though you've been reborn as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, for me, it was learning how beloved I was. And knowing, I used to teach the stuffing out of the love of God.
Right.
I knew it backwards for it. I knew it theologically. I didn't feel it in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when that wall knocked me down that I began to rely on Him and understand how beloved I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me thus far to my Ebenezer, thus far has been to become a spiritual director myself.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Again, resonant moments that kind of bring us to these places. So we've been talking about the false self in this sermon series. Maybe like what part, you said performative, it could be the performer, but like, can you identify like, leading into these Ebenezer moments that you described, how were you like living falsely, like trying to like live, whether it's in your own strength or living like outward a certain way, but not actually living in the spirit, the way Jesus has like transformed us inside to live? Can you identify that maybe?
You want me to go, Mackenzie? Okay. Yes. So I've talked about being an achiever. I was always wanted to do excellently. I wanted to be the best at.
Yeah.
And I still have that vibe.
What did you get from that?
What I got was recognition.
Yeah.
And so it was about recognition. It was about awards,
yeah,
you know, and good grades. If I look back at the beginning,
yeah,
even in first grade,
right,
good grades, you know, top of my class.
Yeah.
Then you get in the Christian world, and I wanted to be known denominationally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was in a different denomination then. The EPC. And so there was a lot of attention being, mm-hmm, given to me, and that felt good.
Yeah.
But
it often feels good.
Like, it did not answer the deepest need that I had of being fully known, and to your sermon, being exposed,
mm-hmm,
in the garden naked, and I was trying to put these fig leaves on.
Right. It's like there's a security, right, that we're searching for,
right,
and maybe the security for you was like net recognition. Like it made you feel secure.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about this is that it's this opposite thing, like, as you are exposed and become vulnerable and rest upon Jesus in a different sort of way, there's a better security that comes.
There is, yes, a solidity, a firm ground,
mm-hmm,
that's spoken about in the Bible,
mm-hmm,
that you're standing on firm,
yeah,
firm ground. So, but I would say it was that,
mm-hmm,
realizing I really did need a Savior.
Yep. Yep.
And He could be counted on when all else failed.
Yeah.
Whether I failed or somebody failed me.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a different posture. And even today, I still fight that pride.
For sure. Always.
So I you know, I have to ask myself a lot of questions even before I lead worship of who's trying to get the attention here.
Right.
I don't want the attention on me.
Yeah, it's a constant surrendering in those moments.
Surrendering.
What about you, Mackenzie? Can you identify maybe how the false self was playing as you headed into that COVID season? Or
yes, I felt really disoriented without the roles that I realized I put a lot of identity in. And I have always been this way ever since I was a child, very attuned to others and looking for feedback from others to know if I was doing okay.
Yeah.
Are they okay? Am I okay? Are we in good standing in relationship? I so resonate to what you were saying about I am an achiever. I like to be excellent. I really should say perfect. I mean, just to be honest, I want there to be, I don't want anyone to find any holes in my way of being that is lacking or has need. And which just sounds terrible to say it out loud, but really that's my false self. That is a protection. That's an armor that I was, that I learned to wear. And honestly, you know, working through a lot of this, there was, I want to be kind and compassionate to that young girl who used that for
sure.
There were some necessary things along the way that getting other people's feedback and making sure everything was okay was useful.
Yep.
So God even uses the, you know, those ways of protecting ourselves. So he uses those things. But I would certainly say when roles were removed, when I couldn't control everybody around me, and when I didn't recognize myself with the anger, were very revealing that my false self was being exposed.
It is important. You make an important note. Like, it is really important to understand that the false self is a protective mechanism. And there is parts of our stories that seem to require that of us in order to survive. At one level, it is sin in the sense of like, we're trying to do this on our own. At another level, just to speak compassionately, if you're listening, like the struggle is real. Like, the world is a dangerous place for us at times. And so we wear these costumes to help navigate our way through that dangerous world. And I do believe Jesus is compassionate towards that reality that we exist in, while at the same time wanting to reclothe us, to help us not have to be animated in that way, right? Those are like two really helpful. I think the changing of roles, like whenever we change roles in our life, that there is these, like, you know, when I moved here, there's a change of role that, okay, how am I going to now move based on that? And it's disorientating. And those are times where there can be resonance if we stop trying to control, but that's really hard when you change roles. Like when you go to a place where you're vibing with people on staff and you're talking about church and Jesus, things that you really like love to talk about and helping people. And then you're home and you got these littles, and your husband is like working at home and you're trying to figure out, how do we even like do this? Like you being here all the time and me being here all the time. Like it is a disorientating experience of who am I? And, you know, Danette and I have talked a lot about that just as our kids kind of start to move up in age and out of the house, like, okay, who are we now, that this has happened? And if we're attuned to God, or if And that attunement can happen a bunch of different ways, from our own stubbornness and folly, or from just like, oh yeah, I'm like really trying to pay attention. Like God can speak. And it sounds like that's what's happened in both of your lives. And so it's taken you on this path towards spiritual direction. So spiritual direction is related to this, right? It's about paying attention.
Exactly.
Right? Paying attention to God, to our interior life, to our longings and our desires that are both true. Like there's a true that always underlies the false. Like, so when we live out of these false selves, there's a true and holy desire that is at the root of that, that we're trying to get to. And so spiritual direction then is about teaching how to pay attention to these things so that we don't live out of a longing that's meant to be met in God alone. Instead, we're trying to meet it in other ways, right? So how has learning to pay attention change the way you understand these things? It's a big question.
And exactly what do you mean by these things?
Yeah, so it's paying attention to God and your interior life, your story, your longings, the disordered loves of your life. And it can be any of those things. You can speak to any of those, but mm-hmm. maybe God first. I don't know.
Yeah. So, spirit. I've had a spiritual directors for, I would say, maybe 25 years. And I've got one now in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And it's funny that when you start talking, sometimes you don't hear what you're saying. And a spiritual director often, a spiritual director is a holy listener.
Yeah.
So it's not about directing a person in a certain way. It's about directing a person to listen to God.
So if, when we think about this, just like orientating our listeners to this idea is how... Maybe it would be helpful. How would a spiritual director, and then we'll pick back up on your thought, but
okay.
How would a spiritual director be different from a counselor or even like pastor or like director, like some ministry leader?
When I think about a counselor, so I have a spiritual director that I meet with monthly, and I have a counselor, a therapist mm-hmm. I meet with monthly. So I experience both of those,
yeah.
and God uses both of them, but they are very different.
Yeah.
In counseling, we are talking about a problem or something that I am bringing to the time, and we are working together towards a solution or some sort of final freedom or something that we're headed towards somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
In spiritual direction, my director is not problem solving for me. We are not coming to some sort of
mutual joint kind
yes,
of movement.
Yeah. She is helping me tune in to what God is up to in my life.
Good.
What he is, she's asking me to be present to the presence of God. Mm. And life is so busy and so full. And I don't need and I also wanted to say the common language is direction, spiritual director, but it really could be interchanged with companion, fellow mm-hmm. traveler. My director, I don't need my spiritual director to talk to God or to pray. But I would love to say I am, but I am not disciplined enough to close out an hour of my every month where the sole purpose is quiet, like bringing it all down. I mean, just quieting everything and listening to what God is doing. And we do that through a lot of silence and through conversation. She asks me great questions that get to the thing beneath the thing.
Yep.
And we're just journeying. We're not headed anywhere specific other than in deeper and deeper into the love of God and my belovedness, which I doubt very often.
Yeah. It's almost like as a pastor, like we hold things with people as they walk through, and we're shepherding and guiding. And then in some ways, a director is guiding. They're listening and they're helping guide you through leading questions, it sounds like. Not necessarily giving answers to the pastor. Sometimes like we step in and here's what the Word of God says. Here's how we understand like theologically how this works, what God might be up to. Maybe we do pray. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of listening and directing in that too. But it is different, it sounds like. Do you want to add anything?
It is. I think Mackenzie has captured it beautifully.
Yeah.
And having been on staff as doing pastoral counseling, I find it sometimes when I'm working with somebody that I have to let them know, okay, you've just asked me a question. I'm going to step aside.
Yeah.
We're not doing spiritual direction right now.
Right.
You've asked a pastoral question. I'm going to answer that.
Speak with like a different kind of authority.
Right. A different kind of authority for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where we're going to come back to. God is working in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't slowed down enough. I think that's what you said, Mackenzie, is right. A lot of people, they've got everything going on in their lives. And there's not a space, a quiet space, that they can really come and have someone ask the questions that bring things out. You notice in the Bible, Jesus asked a lot of questions.
Yeah.
In the garden, God came in asking questions.
Right.
And sometimes we don't know what's going on unless those deeper questions are asked to get to what Mackenzie said is the issue beyond the symptom.
Mm-hmm.
There are symptoms. In counseling, you're talking about rewiring the brain.
Mm-hmm.
In spiritual direction, you're talking about the wealth that you've been given through Christ that allows that brain to get rewired.
Yeah.
And so...
That's good.
It is... You know, it is.
That's actually a really helpful analogy, Susan.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like that, it's like the work beneath the work that allows for some space for that, your brain to develop new pathways.
Right.
That if you don't take the time to stop and don't have somebody helping guide you through listening, it might be harder to get there.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
I think Brian and I are listening to this and go, man, maybe we need a spiritual director. So I think maybe talk a little bit about that. Like both of you have had spiritual directors. Some, you know, you talked a little bit about what jettisoned you to that space. Maybe like what would be beneficial to us, Brian and I, for us to have spiritual direction? And you think about Redeemer, like... I don't know how many people have spiritual directors. I know some people are seeing you, Susan, for their spiritual direction. But why would this be important, especially considering Redeemer and what Redeemer is?
Accountability, I think, and regularity in meeting, I think, is one thing, because it's hard.
You mean accountability in the sense of, like, I have somebody who's, like, gonna... set aside time with me, and almost like a trainer.
Right.
Right. When you sign up for training,
uh-huh.
there's like immediate accountability in the sense of like, I'm paying for this.
Right.
am I going to actually show up for this? Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I'm all in on spiritual direction. Every single time it comes on my calendar, I don't have the time. Like, I had direction this morning, actually. There were 10 reasons that I was like, this is not the day. But she is holding that space, and she is waiting for me to arrive and to come. And so I went this morning, and to be honest, I arrived all frazzled just in general in my own being, but I've been working through some things over the last month that I feel like God is tilling, kind of bringing up in me in the garden of my soul. Mm-hmm. And I am having trouble seeing. And so I arrived to her today, just like flopped into her wonderful floral couch that I always sit on. And I just, and the cool thing is I wanted to just immediately start verbally unloading, but we don't, we begin with silence. And so we did our deep breathing and breath prayers, and it just totally lowered my heart rate. It got me
is the brain thing too, right? By the way, it's your spiritual director becomes someone that helps you get to a window of tolerance, no matter how you walk into the room. And when I use that term window of tolerance, it's like, you're not in flight mode. You're not in withdrawal mode. You're present. And physiologically, there's things at work that keep us from getting to those places. And this is what that director is doing by providing you that space and walking with you through it in that moment that you just described.
Yes. Yeah. It's exactly what I needed today. I would not have done it myself. So again, it's that God coming to find me. Mm-hmm. And then after some silence, we often go through scripture, during each one of our times, but we started, I just needed to share. So shared, and she almost like with a flashlight of her mm-hmm. holy listening through the Spirit, we untangled together. Mm-hmm. And I left, and this doesn't always happen, but I left with such a sense of God's love and kindness for me. It was revealed that I just tend to be so hard and critical on myself. Those self thoughts that, so she helped me I would never have seen. I mean, I'm sure I would have, but God uses direction to help me see.
It's the resonant moment. Yeah. It's the, like, you're relinquishing some level of control. Mm-hmm. There's this dialogue that opens up the possibility for transformation, and it becomes resonant with you through God and the Holy Spirit and through another person. And in that way, spiritual direction has some level of you. It's a unique thing that someone is like sitting there to listen with you. All right, so let me ask you a practical question. How are you learning how to be that kind of listener? Like, because you're both spiritual, in process. You are.
Well, yeah.
You're starting to, like,
because of all of this, because it has really, it is a spiritual formation practice that has changed how I relate to God. So I'm wanting to offer this to others.
Right.
So I have one more year to go in my training.
So you guys can both talk about this because you are spiritual doing it. You have and you can say something about this at the end about your practice, but because I want people to hear and avail themselves to this. Mm-hmm. But how are you learning to, how have you learned to be this listener? Like, to have your antenna attuned to someone else, their story, and God? Because it is like it is the Spirit speaking in these moments to you to give you the flashlight, right? Is that a good way of describing it?
And I would say, I've known Mackenzie now for as long as I've been here. And of me, I've always been a listener. You have too. So I think some of it is, what is God's purpose? He's given us all a purpose. And I finally figured out more recently, this is what he brought me to. Mm-hmm. And even as I was serving in different positions on church staffs or as a consultant, or I've worked for
like
a denomination.
You're getting training almost in that, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's always been there.
Yeah.
It just, I didn't know it. I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah.
And this is crazy. I'm using my hands and nobody can see us. But
you're a whole-bodied person, Susan.
But that, and so I learn a lot through the spiritual directors
sure.
I've had
yeah.
of just watching the way they do it, the way they question, the way they. Mm-hmm. And I'm a teacher, you know, and so I like to talk. And it's been a learning experience to quiet some of those things. I'm not there to teach necessarily, although we do go to scripture, as she says, and sometimes we do Lectio Divina, mm-hmm. because we want God to speak.
Yeah.
And so we have to quiet our voices
for sure.
sometimes
yeah.
so that they can hear him mm-hmm. by maybe a question or by us opening up what we've just heard
mm-hmm.
With them. So it's, you learn a lot the more you do.
Yeah.
But learning to be a listener is something that we all have to do.
And it sounds like what the Lord's done, and this is kind of, you know, as I unpack calling, and my understanding of calling is that God calls you into something to make you chiefly dependent upon him. It is not because, I mean, you both describe that you both have been listeners. It's not that God doesn't necessarily use those realities of who you are, but it's not because you're just like super gifted that you're called into these different roles. It's actually because you're kind of weak. And both of what you described is like this level of weakness of achieving, like, and spiritual direction is almost like the inverse of that,
mm-hmm.
right? Like when you sit with someone, the way you described it is it's not about achieving mm-hmm. anything. It's actually just about sitting together and waiting upon the Lord
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways. And that's an interesting like dynamic of like, why would God call you into this? Because you're going to need him. Otherwise, you're going to try to turn it into something you can achieve. Does that resonate with you?
Yes.
Yes. I, in my training, I am offering direction. And I was talking with my supervisor about just how I'm like, I feel like this is for me. It also, when I sit with someone and offer direction, it is such a privilege. And God is working in me too,
for sure.
as I listen. And it does feel like a series of many deaths as I listen, because I am having, it is much easier for me to just operate out of my gifts of encouragement. I mean, I have taught so many Bible studies and receive feedback. That feels really good. I can zone in that space
right.
for it, breezy. But to sit and offer a ministry that nobody knows about, nobody's going to give me a high five
right.
or like, oh, McKenz, like you're so great. I mean, none of that.
It's almost like it's not public enough for that to be.
Oh,
that
yeah. And it's God's kindness to invite me to observe. I mean, when I offer direction, I imagine my directee sitting with the Lord. I imagine they're having a conversation. And I am, and that is what's happening. That is the mystery that's happening. And I am just, I'm just tuning in and offering myself in surrender. And God does something amazing every time that
mm-hmm.
I could never, if I had planned it, it wouldn't have.
Right.
So we started this just like, why does someone need it? And you said accountability. And then we kind of went around and talked about a lot of different things. Is there anything else that you would add to this, like, Susan, of why somebody would need this besides the things that we've mentioned?
You know, in your sermon series, you have said that we're made for community. Mm. And I think that's a big part of it, that it is having somebody that is consistently, if you stay with the same person, listening to your story. Mm-hmm. So they know more and more about you.
And, for sure. Right.
That, so they, I tell my spiritual director, oh, there she goes again. Mm-hmm. She zinged me, you know, because she's constantly listening to God and then listening to me and putting the two together. So I am sensing his presence even at that moment. And how do you do that by yourself? So it's also that idea of what you call the companion that walks. It's called a spiritual companion. So,
and it is vulnerable.
It's vulnerable.
Right. It's like, 'cause we're on ourself to there's a vulnerability for all of us in acknowledging that we need this, right? And then there's a vulnerability of like showing up.
Right.
And then there's a vulnerability of availing yourself, all of yourself, to another person that they're going to listen to. And one, like, this is like, my story is worthy of being listened to, which for some of us was a hurdle that we'd have to get over. And second, that I'm going to say some things in here that are going to be really honest, most likely. And it might be hard for me to say those things to another person. How I feel about God and, you know, or I really don't hear anything from God. And why is that? Whatever it might be. That there's some deep vulnerability and exposure that happens. And like true community requires that. And a spiritual direction that also then provides safe space.
Safe right? space.
So like it's really important that, you know, we're not the spiritual director isn't giving advice. And they aren't talking about your stuff outside of this place. And they're going to show up and they're going to be there and keep their meetings and their words. That safe space then allows for further vulnerability.
Yeah, confidentiality is huge. I mean, it feels very, like when I meet with a directee, it feels very similar to when I met with my counselor for the first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're reading over the expectations. I'm signing something. I mean, it's my commitment to a directee is that we can go anywhere you want to go because God is always at work and he could be inviting you. What are the invitations? And it might be to some heavier things. But again, I'm not trying to solve it. We're trying to see where is God speaking.
That's great. And it is invitation. So that kind of brings us back here is like, just like your story is an invitation here for people both to consider like where they are and the upheavals of their own life and like what's currently happening in this moment where God might speak. And it's an invitation to consider that, but it's also an invitation to consider doing spiritual direction. So how might one do that?
Well, there are spiritual directors. I mean, she is directing even now. I started a couple of years ago what's called Stillwater Soul Care. I have a website online that you can go to, read more about it, and see what is offered.
Yeah.
So that's how you would get in touch with me if you don't know me.
And just like a therapist, like this is something that, you know, when one steps into spiritual direction, often someone is like paying for that work to be done. Mm-hmm. Like you are availing yourself to another person and that person is worthy of their wages. A worker is worthy of their wages to offer this service to you. It is is personal, but it's also a professional relationship. And I think it's important to note that, like, you know, it isn't like you're not renting a friend, like going, like being a part of a fraternity or sorority here. You're like, you're intentionally paying for someone to show up, to be accountable to that reality, just like you would to a trainer, and for you to hear from God in your story, and that God might draw out a level of depth and complex, a deeper level of depth with your relationship with Him, and that you might know Him more, commune with Him more, mm-hmm. and that that might also then free you up, like physiologically and with other people, to be present with them. Thanks for being here today and sharing a little bit of this story of thus far the Lord has helped.
I brought a little prayer of Thomas Merton. I don't know. I felt like God put it on my heart.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Let's end with that.
Okay. I have this hanging on the mirror in my bathroom, and I read it often. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Thomas Merton.
Amen. If you do want to get involved with either of these ladies in the spiritual direction, I would love for you to connect with either Mackenzie or Susan over this. And I'd love for Redeemer to like consider what spiritual direction might look like for them. So thanks for sharing all that. This wasn't just an infomercial for spiritual direction, but it is a... This is an Ebenezer, and how might we understand how God is at work in us? Well, spiritual direction is one way to do that. So thanks so much for being vulnerable and sharing. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for joining us today. We'll hope to talk to you again next time.